Now, with the latest from the world of technology, this is the Tech Guide Podcast with Stephen Fenech.
Lots to talk about.
Tech Guide.
It's a very well-rounded product, combines great design, great technology, lots of excellent features.
Tech Guide.
This is why Samsung has seen a huge surge, why their profits are up.
Keeping you updated and educated, this is the Tech Guide Podcast.
This is not an ultrabook. If you're looking for something small, slim and lightweight, then you need to look elsewhere.
Tech Guide.
Probably one of the most impressive little devices I've seen in quite a while.
Now, from the studios of techguide.com.au, Stephen Fenech.
Hello and welcome to Tech Guide episode 96, the podcast that keeps you updated and educated about the latest consumer technology. That's our promise to you. Thanks for listening and thanks for downloading. My name is Stephen Fenech and I'm the editor of techguide.com.au. On this week's show, lots to talk about. We're going to kick it off with Apple setting up to buy Beats Electronics. LG unveils their 2014 range of smart TVs. And Linksys has released its fastest router ever. In the Tech Guide reviews, we're going to run our eye over the brand new Samsung 65-inch curved ultra-high-definition smart TV. Signet has also a solution to keep your mobile devices charged on the move, and Garmin's Forerunner 15 GPS sports watch. And we'll bring it home with the Tech Guide Help Desk, and it's all brought to you by Netgear, Australia's number one brand of home Wi-Fi products. Plenty to talk about, so let's get cracking. Well, we're going to kick off with a story about Apple, and never a shortage of rumors surrounding what Apple are doing. They're a highly visible company and a company that many, many other companies, as well as customers, are very interested in what they're doing. Much of the speculation of late has been around the upcoming iPhone 6 or 6C or whatever they're going to call that device. But another story that's been doing the rounds is the fact that Apple is set to purchase Beats Electronics. Now, this is the company that makes those world-famous Beats by Dr. Dre headphones. And this has really set the whole rumor mill alight with these reports. It was originally reported in the Financial Times. The deal is believed to be worth about $3.4 billion. So nothing that Apple can't afford, of course. They've got about $150 billion sitting in the bank. So, but what has really aroused a lot of people's curiosity about this story is why Apple would actually go ahead and acquire this company. Usually an acquisition is done for the purposes of acquiring or buying another company's technology, something that you don't already have, or their customer base, or something else. In this case, I'm not sure what Apple planned to do, if this story is in fact true and indications that it is. Don't know what the plans are to do with the headphone line. So Apple will obviously own Beats by Dr. Dre and make money off them. It's still a very popular line of headphones. But I think the other interesting aspect of this story is the fact that another part, a quite a major part of the Beats Electronics business, is their streaming music service. Now, we know Apple is a major player in music, thanks to the iTunes Store. There are more than 37 million songs in the iTunes Store, and that dwarfs even Spotify audio with around 25, 26 million songs. But the difference between Spotify and audio and iTunes, well, the former, Spotify, audio, these apps, and there are many others, Deezer, there's plenty of these apps that are subscription-based, so monthly payment. And if you want to not have any ads and download whatever you want, listen to whatever you want, then it's about $12 a month. So that's that streaming model. iTunes is still very much a download-to-own service. And while it's still hugely popular, and as I said, with a massive library of songs, the thought behind this purchase is the fact that Apple may be trying to position itself with a streaming service as well. Now, if this were to be the case, then I'd say Spotify, Audio, Deezer, all these other companies that they, you know, Gavera, there's many of them, all of them will have one thing in common, and that was they'll be very worried about their future businesses, because Apple, if they can stream 37 million songs, they've already have an advantage over the opposition. Now, these are still rumors, as we said. Beats is still in its own right worth about $1 billion. It was valued by the Carlyle Group late last year. And it was known also that the Taiwanese smartphone manufacturer, that well-known company HTC, actually owned nearly a 25% stake of Beats, which actually Beats bought back. They bought back those shares late last year. I think it was in September. So now Beats is now back to owning itself. So no other company owns it. And just in time now for a possible takeover by Apple. Reuters reported that Apple CEO Tim Cook actually met with the Beats executives in March. And by these, we're talking about Dr. Dre. It was founded by that rapper, Dr. Dre, and music producer Jimmy Iovine. So we're waiting to hear when this, if this becomes official. It is a very interesting play by Apple, whether it's to, obviously, the hardware arm will be a part of the business. You can already buy Beats by Dr. Dre headphones in all Apple stores. I've seen plenty of them in there. But it's the streaming music service, I think, that's got everyone's interest as well. And as we mentioned, $3.4 billion for Apple is really just change for that company of its size. So it's a very interesting move that we're all going to be watching out for. Should Apple purchase Beats Electronics and kick off a streaming music service, it's going to be quite an interesting story. Now, can this happen before the new iPhones, new iPads are released later this year? Well, unknown at this stage. You'd say that it would be a motivation for Apple that if, as we said, this does go ahead. But stay tuned. Apple poised to acquire Beats Electronics for a lazy $3.4 billion. If you want to read more about that story, you can do that at techguide.com.au.
Tech Guide. This is Tech Guide with Stephen Fenech.
Changing gear slightly, we're going to talk about TVs now, and LG has revealed its new range of 2014 televisions at an event last week, and Tech Guide, myself, it was in attendance, and yeah, it was a very interesting range. There were the only curved TV that we saw was actually the current OLED, the 55-inch OLED that we actually spoke about a couple of weeks ago on the show, that has actually now been reduced to $5,999. Now, LG is saying that the company has, and this is quoting LG, cracked the code when it comes to OLED manufacturer, and this has led to the reduction in price. And the market has responded. Our information is that OLED sales of this LG curved 55 OLED TV, the model number is 55EA9800, if you're interested, has actually skyrocketed as a result. And it's no wonder. Tech Guide has reviewed this TV. It is a marvelous TV, a real talking point. Being OLED, it produces its own backlight, so self-illuminating pixels on board. And what does that mean for viewers? That means that your panel, the actual TV itself, is only 4 millimeters thick. There is a link to my review, or you can do is just do a search on Tech Guide for that TV. And there is actually a photo of me holding the screen between my thumb and forefinger, and just to illustrate just how thin that panel is. But OLED is going to be a continuing story for LG. They are planning to release a 77-inch curved OLED model, and not only will it be curved, it will also be ultra-high definition. So we're ticking all the boxes there. We're ticking it with UHD, Ultra HD. We're ticking it with a curve, and we're ticking it with OLED. So that's going to be a model to keep an eye out for later in 2014. But they also outlined the other models in the range. And, of course, UHD, ultra high definition, was a major focus. Now, there are three series of TVs that LG will be selling into the market. And they are the E series, which covers the OLEDs, as we spoke about, the U series, which covers the ultra high definition TVs, and L series, which is their regular LED smart TVs. Now, the interest around the UHD TVs, there are going to be two models in that range, the UB980T and the UB850T. And then another thing we've noticed too is the fact that LG has responded to the market. In fact, the fact that the Australians are now buying larger screen TVs, that is reflected in this range. In fact, most of the TVs that LG are offering are over 50 inches. So 50 inches and above. Now, in the case of the UB850T, which is the Ultra HD model, there's a 49-inch, 55-inch models. Now, the UB980T, moving up to that, that's the top of the line, that's 65, 79, and 84-inch. And not bad value, I have to say. The 65-inch Ultra HD TV, 5999. 79 inches, 9999. The 84-inch is TBA, the price there. But the UB850T, 49 inches, $24.99. That's Ultra HD, 49-inch TV. The 55-inch model, which is $3,199. I think that's a fair price to pay for an Ultra HD 55-inch TV, smart TV. You've got all the bells and whistles. That's not a bad price at all. But I think another story that needs to be told here with the LG TVs, and once again, LG's done its research here. They found that a lot of people who buy smart TVs, a lot of them have trouble actually setting them up sometimes. So a large percentage of smart TV buyers, and this isn't just LG brand, this is across the board, a lot of smart TV buyers don't actually fully utilize the features. They find it a little hard. A lot of them don't connect it to the internet, so they're missing out on all these features. So what LG has done is used, rolled out among all these TVs a brand new operating system called WebOS. Now, this is a very simple and intuitive software system. We've tried it out. We're actually reviewing one of the TVs right now. We'll chat about it in next week's show. And the WebOS system is simple and intuitive. Anyone can follow this. First of all, it gives you a step-by-step instructions on how to connect your TV to the internet, how to tune the TV, how to get it how you want it to be. But then, for day-to-day operation, it also gives a very, very simple interface that is as easy as clicking on a iPad screen or a tablet screen or using a mouse on a computer screen. It is quite simple and intuitive. And the WebOS actually used to be owned by HP. HP rolled out a tablet. Not sure whether people remember back in 2011, HP released a tablet and it was running WebOS. This operating system that LG now owns, that ill-fated tablet only lasted a week in the Australian market before HP pulled it, and it then went the way of the dodo and was put out to pasture, was discontinued. So what survives from that is the WebOS, and it is a very, very handy addition to the LG range of TVs. Now, there are all the information is there on my story on Tech Guide. The L series is the smart TV, LED smart TV range, also running that new WebOS interface. They range in size from 32 inches all the way up to 65 inches. And pricing is also listed on my story. If you want to take a look at that, it's at techguide.com.au. Now, when it comes to routers, Linksys know a thing or two about it, and their very latest model, the WRT1900AC, is the fastest they've ever produced. Linksys was actually a company bought out by Belkin early last year. So Belkin owns Linksys. So it is a sub-brand of Belkin. I just thought I'd add that to the story. But Linksys is still a standalone division and producing products with its name still on the badge. In the case of the WRT1900AC, it's an 802.11ac Wi-Fi router. Now, this is the faster Wi-Fi standard. We've been talking about 802.11ac for some time now. It is up to three times faster than your regular 802.11n Wi-Fi standard. But the Linksys, this new Linksys router, really has a lot of grunt. It's got a very bold design. It's got four antennas. It also has ports on the back, so connect the internet. You've got also four other ports to hardwire, you say computers or printers or gaming consoles, whatever, what have you. Also has a USB 3 port on the back, so you can connect a hard drive or a printer. It also has an eSATA port, which is used for connecting hard drives. So you can now put up to two hard drives, connect that to your network, and access it not only from within your network, but also remotely from elsewhere. So you can sign up to a Linksys smart Wi-Fi account, and then log in remotely to your router and access all the data on board because it has that connection. Now, when it's set up, the WRT1900AC creates two networks, a 2.4 gigahertz network and a 5 gigahertz network. It is a dual-band router, after all. So speeds, though, are up to 1.3 gigabits per second. And that's because of the 802.11ac. It's also because of the design of the router. There are four antennas, as I mentioned, and it has a feature on board called antenna diversity technology. And what this does, it selects the best three of the four antennas to optimize your data connection. So it's got four to choose from, chooses the best three, and creates a direct line to your product. So it optimizes that data connection, not only giving you better speed, but greater range as well. You'll find that your network can be accessed in further places in your home, further out to the sides and out the back in the backyard, and even all the way out the back there. When you're having your tablet, your smartphone, your laptop maybe up on the back deck, a product like this, when positioned centrally in your home, can really extend that coverage. You can also extend it upstairs as well. Unless you have a very large home, you may need a Wi-Fi range extender, but the Linksys WRT1900AC does a pretty good job in getting the signal around your home. Now, there is an app that you can download, the Linksys Smart Wi-Fi app. You can also control things on a browser, but what that app or browser does is actually maps your network. It gives you easy access to, you might want to change the name of your network or the password. It's really adaptable, very easy to adapt, and very easy to set up as well, by the way. So if you're looking to increase the speed of your network at home and the range while you're at it, then it's definitely worth checking out the Linksys WRT1900AC. It's black and it's blue and it's got antennas and a solid design. It's got a solid footprint. It's about 25 centimeters wide, this product, so needs a bit of desk space unless you want to maybe mount it on the wall, which is possible as well. But you're not going to miss this product when you see it on the desk. It means business. If you want to see the pictures of the product as well as my full report, you can do that at techguide.com.au.
Keeping you updated and educated. This is Tech Guide with Stephen Finney.
Tech Guide.
The Tech Guide podcast is proudly supported by Netgear, Australia's number one Wi-Fi brand, and they've just released a brand new AC1200 high-powered Wi-Fi range extender. It's called, the model number is the EX6200. This is the larger range extender, which actually has more ports on the back. You can now power up your home network with Netgear's new AC1200 high-powered Wi-Fi range extender, the EX6200. You can push Wi-Fi now to every corner of the home with the new 802.11ac Wi-Fi range extender from Netgear. It has AC on board with that beamforming technology, so it's going to latch onto your products and offer a faster, smoother connection. It's perfect for your home theater setup as well, because you can connect five wired devices to the gigabit Ethernet ports on the back, or you can stream HD video content from USB hard drives connected to the USB 3 port on the back. With a powerful dual-core processor on board and high-power amplifiers, you can have Wi-Fi wherever you want it throughout your home. You get the EX6200, gives you the fastest Wi-Fi AC range, and the extender is available now from Netgear. You can check it out at netgear.com.au/MaxWiFi.
Tech Guide.
Now, a Tech Guide review with Stephen Fennett. Tech Guide.
Okay, we're going to kick off our reviews this week with the Samsung 65-inch curved Ultra HD TV. Now, it was only last week or the week before, I can't remember now, that we spoke about these TVs being launched in the Australian market, and Tech Guide has already had a look at this TV. We've already reviewed it. We went eyes on and ears on, for that matter, with this new curved HD TV, and I have to say, we liked what we saw. In fact, we loved what we saw. Didn't quite like what we heard, though. But more about that a little bit later. Now, obviously, the biggest thing that's going to strike you about this TV is the fact that it's curved. The curve is nice and subtle. It's not like a sharp U-shape. It's not going to sort of strike you as being, well, wildly different. You can notice the curve in the screen, and that's there for a number of reasons. It's to give you that more immersive experience. The edges are closer to the viewer than the center of the screen. But what impressed us the most, apart from the design, design is it has very lovely thin panel, very thin bezel around the screen, so mainly all you can see is the screen, so there's nothing to distract you from that ultra high definition picture. The stand is also curved, so it follows the exact curve, the exact line of the TV, the curve in the TV, and gives it that floating effect. It's like it's floating in midair. The back of the TV, you're not going to find any inputs there. Reason that for that is because they're giving you a separate UHD One Connect box. This is in as essentially the Evolution kit. If anyone knows Samsung TVs of late, they have an Evolution kit, which means that once a new TV is released, you can then buy the latest Evolution kit to give your current TV the latest operating system, the latest processor, and the latest remote control. Now, in this case, they have Evolution kit, or the One Connect box, whatever you want to call it, actually now includes the inputs. So because we're in a sort of a state of flux with our connections here, the reason for that is that ultra high definition content is going to come storming through, whether that maintains a HDMI connection, whether it needs an Ethernet connection, that is still up in the air. So the beauty of having the One Connect box with the connections is that when you use the Evolution kit, not only do you get the latest processor, the latest operating system, the latest remote control, you also get the latest ports. Smart move from Samsung, and what it does, it actually helps you connect your other sources a little easier. And by that, I mean you can put the box up away from the TV, very easy to connect it either in your cabinet or on the side of the TV. So no having to reach around the back of the TV and strain your neck and your back trying to connect your sources. That's the One Connect box. Performance-wise, this is a stunning picture, we have to say. The Ultra HD, we watched some native Ultra HD content, not the upscaled stuff, we'll talk about that in a sec, but there was a box that they connected for us, and it showed Ultra HD native content, so no upscaling involved. This is content four times resolution of full HD, and clarity, color reproduction, sharpness was stunning. It looked amazing. Really nice picture. Black levels were above average. They're not quite as good as plasma level in my mind, but not far off it. You know, plasma though, a dying format. But the UHD on an LED TV looked pretty nice. The blacks looked pretty sharp. Plenty of detail in those dark scenes as well. Colors were really nicely represented. Real, not too much washouts or oversaturation. It was nicely in the middle there. That's all the Samsung Pure Color technology really does in doing the heavy lifting there and producing a very nice picture. But on the upscaling side, though, we were very impressed. So we watched a Blu-ray. We watched a couple of Blu-rays, actually, a few Blu-rays. And what we noticed, and we were playing movies that we knew very well. I'm talking about Empire Strikes Back, a lot of these sort of movies that I've grown up with and know every frame of. We chose those movies for a reason because we know exactly what they look like, exactly the sort of quality they are. And I have to say, a big tick by the Samsung TV here to upscale it very, very nicely to near UHD quality. Even watching free-to-air TV, we noticed an improvement as well. You won't notice much of an improvement on a standard definition channel, but if you're watching a HD channel, you're going to notice lots. We were watching Seinfeld and other older shows that were created in the 90s, and they looked superb. I have not seen Seinfeld look better on a television. Now, this is a smart TV, don't forget, so there are plenty of smarts in the back. Of course, there is one other feature I should talk about in terms of picture quality, and that is the auto depth enhancer. Now, the curved TV, as I mentioned before, tries to give you that immersive effect. It does it very well, but the algorithm creates in real time a foreground, mid-ground, and a background, and it doesn't. It's not 3D. A lot of people are thinking, oh, okay, 3D. It is actually a 3D TV, but this auto depth enhancer offers a more. You're looking further into the picture. We did a side-by-side comparison with the flat TV and the curved TV, and there was a noticeable difference. You're looking further, deeper into the image. The curved shape of the TV really plays into that as well and helps enhance that whole experience. On the smart side, plenty to look at here. It's got a multi-link, so you can split the screen into up to four parts. And each of those parts, if you do split it into four parts, each part is still full high definition. Because remember, UHD, four times the resolution of full HD. So if you split it in four, you still got full HD in each section. the other smarts. It had a very intuitive EPG, and by that I mean it showed you what's on right now, how much of the show has been you've already missed, and gives you other suggest tells you what else is coming up, what else is on. So really easy to sort of do your channel surfing. If you want to sort of settle on what you want to watch. Of course, there is voice control, motion control, which has made it a lot easier than before. There is a smaller football-shaped remote control that fits nicely in your hand that gives you basically nearly all the controls in a smaller remote control. There is an interesting feature called soccer mode. Now, this is going to come in handy when the World Cup is on next month. And what this does, soccer mode, actually, when you've got a hard drive connected to it, say you're recording, soccer mode can record the highlights of the game. Now, how it does this, it chooses the parts to it's constantly recording. So what it does, when it comes across a part and there's a sudden rise in the pitch, the volume of the announcer or the crowd, the TV's thinking, okay, that must be a highlight. Something good's happened there. So let's record that. Let's keep that recording because, as I said, it's always recording and then decides to keep those recordings. So at the end of the game, you'll be able to see the highlights or the goals or whatever you missed. You might have got up in the middle of the night, fallen asleep, or not seen it live. You want to catch up with it later. It can give you the highlights. I think a very clever mode that I'm hoping is it also offered to other sports as well. Now, let's talk about something that we didn't like about the TV, and that was the sound quality. Now, the sound wasn't bad. We're not saying that the speakers were terrible. They were still pretty crisp and clear, and watching free-to-air was fine. But watching action movies and other movies where there's so much work's gone into the sound, you really didn't get the payoff through the Samsung's 65-inch curved UHD speakers. Now, the speakers are okay. They're good, not great. But it just seems to me that all the attention has gone into making the picture absolutely brilliant, and they've succeeded. But it's just a shame that the sound quality didn't quite match up with the picture quality. Now, Samsung, as I say in my review, really had a chance to knock this one out of the park with some really nice speakers. Now, my thinking would be that the curve would actually play into having a better sound quality, because the sound could actually bounce off out from the back of the TV, bounce off the wall, create some kind of effect, some kind of audio that you can, the improved audio. Unfortunately, that wasn't the case. But as I said, not a deal breaker, but something that we would have liked to see. Still, a very sharp TV, the HU9000. It's available in 55, 65, and 78-inch. We review the 65-inch, which is priced for $6,999. There's a cheaper $4,999 version, the 55-inch. And if you want to go all the way to 78-inch, you need to pony up $16,999. So all in all, we love the TV. If you want to read our full review and to see our star rating, you can do that by going to techguide.com.au. Now, here's a product that a lot of you are going to want to use. There's plenty of us out there who use our mobile devices, our tablets. And what's our gripe? The battery. We look down at the battery and get all anxious that we've only got 20%. It's in the red zone. We're going to run out of battery and we're still nowhere near a PowerPoint. What are we going to do? It's all so stressful. Well, Signet have actually offered a really nice solution. They've got a product called the Charge Up. Now, what this is basically a portable battery. They've got two models in the range, the Charge Up 11,000 and the Charge Up 4400. Now, what these are, as I said, they're batteries and they can recharge your device on the go. So you actually need to charge these batteries. So once these are fully charged, you can toss them in the bag and they can last for days. So if you're caught short, you got your charging cable connected to the USB port on the Charge Up battery, the other end into your mobile device, and you are charging away. The 4400 is the smaller model that can recharge your phone up to three times. That has also got a little LED torch on the end. It's got one USB port and a micro USB port, so that's where you actually charge the battery. But the full-size USB port is where you put your charging cable and connect it to your mobile device. Moving up to the Charge Up 11,000. This has got a larger battery. The numbers, by the way, represents a milliamp hours on the battery. So if you've got 4,400, it's a 44 mAh. If you've got 11,000, it's 11,000 mAh. Now, the 11,000 battery can charge your phone or device up to 7 times. But the beauty of the 1100, it's got 2 USB ports. So you can charge 2 devices at once. One of those ports is actually 2.1 amps. So you can actually charge a tablet, like an iPad or an Android tablet, whatever tablet you got that needs higher power output, and the other USB port can supply that. Signet charge up batteries are available now. The 4400 is $39.95. The 11000 is $79.95, and they're available now in a number of colors, and you can check out my story at techguide.com.au.
Tech Guide. This is Tech Guide with Stephen Finnick.
Now, Garmin is a name we all recognize. They're a very popular company when it comes to creating GPS sports watches. And their latest model, the Forerunner 15, is actually the cheapest GPS running watch they've created. So it's their most affordable product. And what the Forerunner 15 has done, it looks like a watch and can be used like a watch, got GPS on board, but it also has all the features you'd come to expect from an activity band. Smart move here from Garmin, because they see activity bands are becoming quite popular. You know, they cost about $150, $200. That's how much the Forerunner 15 costs. So for the same price, not only can you get all the activity band features like counting steps, keeping track of calories, stuff like that, but you also get the GPS functionality, which can then measure distance, pace. And even there is a model too, the 249 model, can measure your heart rate as well with the heart rate monitor. So pretty good value, the Forerunner 15, available with a smaller screen for the ladies, larger screen for the men. Available in a number of colors too. There's pink and there's green and there's black and red and blue and some lovely colors there. But the entry level price is $199. It's also waterproof to 50 meters as well, by the way. $199 gets you the basic model without the heart rate monitor. Very simple to use too, by the way. There's 4 buttons on board, nice big letters on the screen. Very simple, easy to use. The 249 model is the version with the chest worn heart rate monitor. Garmin, they know what they're doing when it comes to GPS sports watches. The Forerunner 15 is going to win a lot of fans when it comes out at the end of May. It's a very affordable product, $199 or $249 with the heart rate monitor. You can check out that story and see what it looks like at techguide.com.au.
Tech Guide. Now, answering all your tech questions, the Tech Guide Help Desk.
Okay, the Tech Guide Help Desk this week. We thought, well, you know what? The budget's coming, going to come down tomorrow night. We're recording this on a Monday. So Tuesday night is when Joe Hockey gets up at the dispatch box in Parliament and delivers the budget. Now, if you believe everything that's been said about the budget so far, there appears to be, and this kind of seems to be the attitude from the coalition, is the fact that everyone needs to do their part. So that means to me that there's going to be some belt tightening, whether it's a debt tax, whether it's petrol tax, some kind of levy, some kind of thing we're not going to have anymore, is going to involve some type of belt tightening. So with that in mind, we decided to write a little story about the apps that can help you save money, just in case the budget bites a little too tight. We won't know until tomorrow. Just in case, we thought we'd put together a list of 5 apps that can help you save money. The first one, Motormouth. This can help you save, over the course of a year, hundreds of dollars by finding the cheapest fuel near your location. So if you happen to be somewhere, you can search for the cheapest fuel. It'll tell you what the pricing is for unleaded, for premium, whatever you want, and it can direct you to that station. It works really well because it knows exactly the price cycles as well. So it can tell you even what day, the best day to buy the fuel is. So over the course of a year, this can save you a lot of money. Available for iOS and Android. Moving on, Red Laser. This is a handy app to help you do some comparison shopping. If you're in a store, you want to know the price of an object you might be holding in your hand, scan the barcode. It'll tell you the prices in stores locally, so retail stores locally, and also online prices as well. So you can do your comparison shopping on the spot. That's Red Laser, also iOS and Android. Groupon. This is a very popular app for those group buying opportunities. Now you can access the latest deals, redeem them on your device. So rather than having to print out a coupon and take that into the restaurant or the store, wherever you're having to buy you've bought your deal, you can just show your app and the coupon will be on your screen. And that works around the world, also iOS and Android. Now, what about saving electricity? Electricity bills on the rise. There is an app called Energy Calc Pro. This is an iOS-only app, and what it does, it can let you work out the appliances in your home that's using up all the electricity. So you can, there's a built-in database, so you can see the common wattage and average daily usage of things like your fridge, your TV, your kettles, things like that. And if you want to apply, you can customize it by applying the rate per kilowatt that you're paying. You can find that out on looking at your latest electricity bill. And you can see what you're being charged in peak and off-peak times. This is kind of like a taxi meter for your electricity use. So you can see the cost running up because of certain devices and products being used. Well, now you've got a look at what those are, and you can turn things off or even change them altogether if they're running up your electricity bill. Great way to save money. And lastly, Skype. This is a very well-known app already. A lot of people don't realize, though, that using this, you can use this for free. This is an app that can do audio calls, video calls to other Skype users for nothing. So great if you're traveling. Forget buying that overseas SIM card that's going to cost you money. Find a Wi-Fi spot. Maybe the Wi-Fi in your hotel is good enough. You can Skype away. Call people on Skype. It's free, people. Best way to do it. You can look at that story on techguide.com.au, and there's links to every app that I spoke about and the operating system it applies to. And that's at techguide.com.au. And that's the end of this week's show. You can read further about everything we've talked about at techguide.com.au. We want to offer a special thanks to our sponsors, Netgear, the brand you can trust for all your Wi-Fi needs. If you want to stay connected, the answer has to be Netgear. Thanks for listening. It's been great having your company once again. We look forward to you joining us again next week. So until then, stay safe and stay connected.